As promised, I'd like to bring a message tonight called Things God Hates. It will take several weeks to go through this little series. I did this some years ago, and just something caused me to be interested in the topic. Someone asked a question or something about something God hated, and I thought, well, that would be a good study, and I did it, and I was surprised at some of the things I found. Perhaps you will be as well. And so I invite you to listen well tonight. I have way more than I can do in one evening, but I'm not coming back to this particular portion of our study, so I'm going to talk fast and you listen fast, okay? That's how this will have to work. When you got married, if you're married, you probably discovered some things that your mate did that you might describe as, I hate it when he does that or when she does that. Like the toothpaste tube, you know, you always talk about the toothpaste tube or dirty clothes in the corner or behind the door or under the bed or someplace like that, leaving the car seat too far up or too far back. Those types of things, making clicking noises when they sleep or some sounds that happen. Perhaps you've made some effort to change the thing that your mate did not like or would say that they really just hate it when you do that. And you would try to change that for them, even if it weren't a bad thing, if it weren't something wrong. Now, take that illustration and apply it to our relationship with God. In our relationship with God the Father, there is nothing to hate. There's nothing not to like, because He's all good. God is always good, isn't He? And so we praise the Lord for that. But certainly there is much about me, much about us in our sinfulness. At best we can do is still not very good, is it? We still mess up. We make mistakes. We sin on occasion, pretty often, every day, every little bit perhaps, we have these problems. And God, because He is holy and righteous and just, He has to hate those things that we do, and in this case, always wrong, never right. The things that we do that are wrong, God hates. The word hate in the New Testament is meseo, and it means to hate, to pursue with hatred, to detest. In the Old Testament, the word is sone, it means to hate. So when the Bible says hate, hate seems to mean hate. Just like we understand it, God hates certain things. Now, God's hatred or God's anger or those things that are normally negative to us and we are wrong when we do those things, of course, God is holy and righteous and just, and He's never wrong when He does those things. Righteous indignation when He's angry or when He hates something, it's with a perfect hatred and a holy hatred, and we should hate the same things God hates. And we'll see that here as we continue. If I could show you what God hates, and you know I'm planning on doing that, if I could show you, would you be willing to change it? Now that's a good question, isn't it? The Bible says in John 7:17, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself, Jesus said. God will reveal His will to those who are willing to do it. And He may not reveal His will and His doctrine to those who aren't going to do it anyway. God will reveal His will if you're willing to do it. Now, right into things God hates. Number one, and this is all we'll cover tonight, He hates the worship of false gods. You say, well, we don't have to worry about that. But wait, do we elevate things beyond where they ought to be and maybe even above Him in our hearts and minds? Secondly, in the same vein of thought, God wants worship for Himself His way, only His way. God defines how we worship, right? And so churches who are trying the new paradigm and the seeker-friendly and all of that failed, by the way, but there are all sorts of things out there, and people are trying new ways to worship. Well, we need to worship God His way, the way He likes to be worshiped. I believe that when we come together and worship, then we need to sing songs that God likes, right? Songs that would be pleasing to Him and that would be worshipful to Him. We ought to worship God God's way. Let me ask you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 29. Deuteronomy 12:29. Who wrote the book of Deuteronomy? Who's the author of the book of Deuteronomy? God is. So it's God's word penned by Moses as God moved him in the person of the Holy Spirit. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 29 says, "When the Lord thy God shall cut off the nation from before thee, or nations from before thee, whither thou goest to possess them, and thou succeedest them and dwellest in their land, take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them, after that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise." Moses is given this warning. Don't follow the example of the Canaanites, whose land you're going to dwell in. It's the promised land, or the land of Canaan, that they drove all of these inhabitants, these ungodly inhabitants, out of, and they possessed the land. God gave them this land. They had many gods, the Canaanites, call it a pantheon. Many gods. The gods work together, they believe. Oh, the gods are angry today, or the gods are not with us today. The gods would work together, each with his individual specialties, and they would control the affairs of life. That's what people thought. And they had, as I said, a pantheon, hundreds, maybe thousands of gods around the globe at that time, and still today. I'm not going to mention them all, of course, but I'll mention a few that you've heard the names of. There's El, the chief god. There's Baal, B-A-A-L, grandson of El. Baal, the god of storms, the god of vegetation, he is called. There's Asherah. The Phoenicians called her Astarte. She is thought to be the wife of El and mother of 70 gods and goddesses, including Baal. The Canaanites, however, worshipped Asherah as the wife of Baal, not the wife of El. You follow me? Not the chief god, but the second one, second generation god, so to speak. Her name is often used in the Old Testament with reference to the groves. I think of the groves, I always think of the high places. Groves are mentioned a great number of times in the scriptures, and I'll mention this again in just a little bit. So why would she be associated with the groves? Well, her object of worship was a tree trunk. Maybe a whole tree, but it was stylized somehow and they worshiped her. So being a tree trunk, it would be among trees, and so groves of trees, that might be the connection, most people would say. She was the recipient of a lot of animal sacrifices in the scriptures, in the time of the scriptures writings. Very similar in name, Ashtoreth. Ashtoreth, that's singular, Ashtaroth is plural. Sometimes associated with the planet Venus and maybe moons as well. She was called the Queen of Heaven, the Goddess of Fertility, as well as the Goddess of War. Seems like those wouldn't go quite together so well, would it? There's Dagon. Who do you hear him associated with of the Canaanite people? The Philistines, Dagon. They worship Dagon, the god of vegetation. There's Molech. Molech. Some believed he was the sun god, and they sacrificed their children to the sun god. Many children offered up to Molech by the pagans. There is Reshef, god of plagues and of mass destruction. There is Rimmon. He is the god of rain and the storms. And then there's the black god Mot, who's the god of death. And that's just a few of them. There are many, many gods of these pagan peoples, these idolatrous peoples that lived in Canaan when the children of Israel received the land. The way they served and worshiped their God was an abomination before the Lord. It was the worst of worse. It was a terrible thing, very, very sinful worship. And so Moses writes in verse 31, "Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God." thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God. So God takes worship very seriously. He takes it very seriously, and his people were not to worship other gods, but the context here, they're not to worship the Lord their God in the way that the Canaanites worshiped their pantheon, their pantheon gods. And Paul tells us that the motive for a lot of the pagan worship in Bible times was demonic. In 1 Corinthians 10:20, it says, "But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils." You remember that? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, talking about going to the pagan festivals of that day, eating the meats offered to the idols there, and that's the context of it. But they sacrifice to devils. In other words, demons were involved in pagan worship. And they were, and they are today, most definitely. This every abomination, let me read the rest of the verse. This is verse 31. "Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination to the Lord which he hateth have they done unto their gods. For even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire to their gods. What things soever I command you, observe to do it, thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it." In other words, you worship me like I told you. How specific was God in how he was to be worshipped in the Levitical law? Precisely every move to make, when to do it, who was to do it, how they were to do it, how they would conduct their festivals, all of it was spelled out by the Lord. So he says in verse 31, this every abomination he mentions here, which he hateth. What does that include? What are some of the abominations? I've mentioned a few just in naming the gods. But let's look at another passage over in Deuteronomy 18 and verse 9, because he enumerates some of these abominations that they were guilty of. Now, I want to be real discreet about how I say this. Some of these are gross, okay? And some of these are the worst kind of wicked. But I want you to get a flavor of this here as I read. In verse 9, this is Deuteronomy 18 in verse 9. "When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations." So same type of context here. You see it? There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or wizards, or necromancers. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. This is why they're leaving and you're getting their land. It's because they're doing these things. So what's he saying? Don't do what they have done. Don't worship me like that. What are these abominations? Human sacrifice. They had a god that they would... It was a bronze... a brazen idol, and they would heat it red hot and lay an infant in its arms. That's disgusting, isn't it? You can't imagine that, but that's what they did for Molech. Leviticus 18:21, "And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of God. I am the Lord." Leviticus 18:21. Here in Deuteronomy mentions divination, to divine things. Joseph said he divined with a goblet that was supposedly taken by his brothers. There were others who used the stars. Divination, an observer of times, an enchanter. It was a common understanding that some could predict, and maybe more than predict, they could alter the future by their divinations. They could change. They had powers to change. There were people who believed that. Believed that they could do it. Now, if they could change something, what was the power that they accessed to accomplish that? It would have been demonic, right? Now, it's a really big deal if I could predict that when you walk out to the parking lot, all of your tires are going to be slashed, all four. Now, if I sort of excused myself right after the amen and I went out and I came back in, I was putting my pocket knife back in my pocket, you would say, well, I guess you slashed my tires. But do you think a demon is less capable than I am of slashing tires or cutting down a tree or starting a fire? To alter the future, there would be nothing mystical or magical about it. Demons are real. You believe in demons, don't you? They're fallen angels, and they can do things. And why don't they do more? Well, there are perhaps several reasons. One, if we could see demons in action, we would believe more strongly than we do. We would call out to the Lord. Maybe that's why they don't reveal themselves to us. And perhaps God withholds them. God keeps them from doing everything they might want to do. Praise the Lord, right, in our lives. Divination, observer of times, enchanters. Necromancy, that's consulting with familiar spirits. There were mediums through which one might contact the dead. There any example of that in Scripture? The witch in Endor. Who went there? Saul. Saul went to the witch at Endor to talk to Samuel. And the witch at Endor was taken back when Samuel showed up. But God allowed Samuel to speak to Saul at that point. But that's the kind of thing that was an abomination unto the Lord, that there was a witch at Endor. She should not even been there. Shouldn't been alive at that point. But Saul in 1 Samuel 28, witchcraft, wizardry. Witchcraft and wizardry. Let's get a little closer to home. Think Walt Disney. Huh? The magical kingdom. Is there any good in that? It's entertaining, maybe. You know? Fascinating. Stimulates the imagination. All of those things. But brothers and sisters, that's not been good for us generations that are sitting here right now. We grew up with that Walt Disney witchcraft and wizardry and the Smurfs. Do you remember the Smurfs? Are there still any such things as Smurfs? I don't know. I'm old. But the things that we have seen come and go where they exercise witchcraft, a good witch and a bad witch. And there are witches that are called white witches and white magic and black witches and black magic. And there are all sorts of things. And you say, well, those things aren't real. Now, wait a minute. They are real. Wizardry, witchcraft. The Bible says, sanctify yourself, therefore, and be holy. For I am the Lord your God. Leviticus 20 and verse 7. And the Bible says in Exodus, Moses wrote, and he said, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. It was an abomination. They didn't entertain themselves with these things. There were other sins of the Canaanite. There was prostitution for religious purposes. Go figure. That's strange, isn't it? Self-mutilation. Remember Elijah on Mount Carmel? And the prophets of Baal, they couldn't get Baal awake or interested or whatever. And what did they do? They cut themselves and the blood was pouring out, it says in 1 Kings 18:28. There's animism and totemism and fetishism. Physical things are possessed by spirits that help or hinder the affairs of man. Mystical relationships between a person or a group of people and a totem pole. You ever heard of a totem pole? The belief that an object has magical powers that can protect. Can you think of anything? Rabbit's foot in your pocket or the voodoo doll. You say, I don't believe in that stuff. Well, I'll tell you this, it's real. I have a missionary friend in Togo, West Africa, and he'll tell you all about voodoo dolls. And they've never been able to do anything to him. But for unsaved people, among the unsaved people, and those witch doctors over there, they can cause terrible things to happen. Where's the power behind it? It's the devil. It's demons. Demons. Active demons. Burning incense for worship. Sounds pretty harmless, doesn't it? God forbids it in Jeremiah 44. verses 3 and 4. There's idolatry. Idolatry. Thou shalt not plant a tree, a grove. There's Asherah, that's the word in Deuteronomy 16:21. Thou shalt not plant thee a Asherah, a grove of any trees near unto the altar of the Lord thy God, which thou shalt make thee. Neither shalt thou set thee up any images which the Lord thy God hateth. Do you remember reading through Kings and Chronicles, and one king took the place of the next king, and this one did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, did right which is all of them in Israel, all 19 kings did that which evil in the sight of the Lord. But there were some okay kings in the southern empire, but one thing it kept saying, he was a good king, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and then it would say, but he did not, do you remember? He didn't cut down the groves. He didn't cut down the groves. And do you know what they did in the groves? They worshiped Jehovah in the groves. You think, nah. Yeah, they did. Where was Saul sent to find Samuel? In the high places. Was there that kind of... No, there was worship of Jehovah there. Samuel was going to offer some sacrifices. Where? In the high place. Brothers and sisters, God puts up with a whole lot, doesn't he? Those crazy Hebrews. I'm glad we're not that way, aren't you? But we are. We are that way. You say, but these things don't even exist today. Well, you're wrong about that. Israel disobeyed and they did everything that God hates. And they had moved into this land, and after they had been warned, they did all of these things, just like the Canaanites. Why do men worship God, a God of their own making, in ways of worship or acts of worship that are also of their own making? Why do they do that? Well, God, a God of my own making, will allow me to fulfill the desires of my flesh, right? I can make a God that will give me what I want. God of my own making will allow me to control my own destiny. A God of my own making will eliminate all divine obligations, making me my own God. Does that sound familiar? To be the captain of your own fate, to determine your own destiny in life. That is the philosophy of the world we live in. That's what's out here. It's among people who call themselves Christians. And I say call themselves. I don't know if they are or not. They don't act like it. And of course, let me not steal my own thunder here. I'll just go on. God still hates every act of worship toward other gods or anything other than himself. He wants to be worshipped himself, and he wants to be worshipped His way. Therefore, we need to beware of. Here's two words: the occult. We need to beware of the occult. I'm going to define it here for you. And secondly, we need to beware of the New Age. The New Age. You haven't heard about that much because in the last 20 years, it's not been talked about much. How many of you remember the New Age movement back from the 80s to the middle 90s, before the turn of the century, the New Age movement? Well, the movement was to they were going to usher in a new age, hence New Age movement. And they had all sorts of really weird philosophies and ideas and doctrines and dogmas back in the 80s and 90s, several years back now. And that they sort of fizzled out in the turn of the century. They sort of fizzled out as a movement. But the New Age philosophy and the New Age doctrine, the New Age dogma, what's dogma? That's the tenets of their faith. That's the foundational truths upon which they stand. These tenets of their faith, they were not new to the New Age movement back in the 80s, the 70s. And they did not go away when the New Age movement sort of dwindled away. There's still people who talk about it, not as many. And there's still groups of people here in our pluralistic society. What's pluralistic? America's a pluralistic society. It means that there are multiple worldviews. Everybody doesn't see things like we do. What's a worldview? A worldview answers the question, where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going? That's sort of simplistic, but that's the idea. We're a pluralistic society. We have people that don't believe in God. We have people that get mad if you try to talk to them about God. Have you ever tried to hand somebody a tract and it's like they just got angry? All I was trying to do is be nice. Here, I'd like to give you something to read. Here, this really changed my life, and I'd like to share it with you. I don't use that stuff. Yeah, they get gruff real quick. They were really kind before, very nice, ready to take my money for the lumber or whatever I was buying, and all of a sudden everything went sour because they're of a different opinion about where they came from and who's responsible and what does it mean, God? What do you mean, God? And so I guess I chased a rabbit a little bit, but let me define occult. Okay, I was talking about the New Age movement. Let's back up to occult. The word occult is generally associated with secret knowledge and practices dealing with the supernatural, the psychic phenomena, often for the purpose of obtaining personal power. Now, I don't know. I read. I like to read about what's going on in the world, and I think, oh boy, I understand that. Can you understand what's being said? People who want mental power, they want to be able to do things and understand things, and they'll tell you, here's what you need to do. And they've got all sorts of crazy things to tell you to do. You recognize them, well, that's totally unscriptural. That's satanic. But they've got all of this pent-up knowledge. And they want you to know, if you're interested, they want you to know that they're the ones who can deliver to you exactly what you need. Knowledge. Gnosis. What's that mean? Gnosis. Knowledge. Talking about knowledge. Have you ever heard of Gnosticism? Where do we read about Gnosticism? It's in the Bible. Judaism and Gnosticism were two major influences on the first century church and second century church. They were dealing with these things back in the days of Paul and Peter. They were dealing with this Gnosticism. Same thing. Little difference in their approach to things, but the same ideas, the same philosophy is in the occult. As the Gnostics. Some occult practices rely on demons and spirits. They don't call them demons. They only call them spirits. And they use the spirits to achieve their goals. Occultism is rapidly increasing throughout the world, and there are now thousands of publishers of books and periodicals and magazines and websites. How hard do you have to look to find some occultic website? Not hard at all. Not hard at all. You'll stumble across them. But none of us would ever be associated with the occult, would we? That same article where I got most of that information, that same article is in a website called Christian Answers, continues with this. It says, interest in the occult has been promoted by the New Age movement. Been promoted by the New Age movement to the rise of neo-paganism, movies, and even some heavy metal rock bands. New Age has its own art, its own music, its clothing, its websites, its business, its communities, entertainment, churches, everything. They got it all, and there is no way that you and your family can avoid it. So I'm talking to some young people here. Talking to some parents of young people here, you need to understand what Satan wants to do to your family. It's the only way we're going to combat it, if we'll understand it somewhat. So yes, according to a believer who had escaped the occult, he says New Age movement is just another name for things occultic. Okay, now I said the New Age movement has sort of settled down. You don't hear about it anymore, but the tenets of New Age are still as alive as they ever were, dating all the way back to before the days of Christ. Let's talk about New Age. Listen to this. Listen to this one sentence and tell me what's wrong with it. The New Age movement is a non-religious Western spiritual movement that developed in the latter half of the 20th century. Did you hear something kind of odd about that? The New Age movement is a non-religious Western spiritual movement that developed in the latter half of the 20th century. It's non-religious and spiritual, and that is a good description. It's all about the spirit world. It's not about the physical world so much. It's power and light and knowledge. It's all about the spirit realm, but it's not a religion. So what is it? It's a lie. Everything about it is a lie. Everything about it is untrue. Now, I've got a lot to read here, and I'm not gonna read it all. We don't have time. New Age website. They call themselves the Spiritual Knowledge Repository. Sounds good, doesn't it? Well, let me say this first. New Age. Its aim is to create a spirituality without borders or confining dogmas. I.e. doctrine, okay, that is inclusive and pluralistic, which I described. It attempts to create a worldview that includes both science and spirituality, but not Christian spirituality. This term, New Age, describes a movement in the Western culture to explore spiritual matters without the constraints of any set of religious doctrine. Known as the New Age movement, it contains many of the same elements found throughout different religions. New Age itself is not an actual religion. It is more of a conglomeration of many people's private beliefs. Interested? Here's what everybody thinks collectively. Those who consider themselves part of the New Age movement have numerous and varied beliefs. Nevertheless, certain recognizable themes start to emerge at close examination. An individual who identifies themselves with the New Age movement may also subscribe to some or all of these themes, depending on their own sense of what is good or bad, right and wrong. Quite opposed to what the Bible teaches, isn't it? Quite the opposite of what God would have us to be. What are some of their beliefs? Let me read just a few anyway. All life, not just limited to humanity, and everything in the universe is believed to be spiritually interconnected, emanating from that same energy widely known as God. If you remember the Star Wars, the Force be with you, they would say. The Force. You could tap into the Force for good or evil. That was New Age. Sounds like Gnosticism too, doesn't it? Very much. Interconnected, emanating from the same energy. They say, Gnosticism says Christ is one of those emanated beings coming out of the extreme being. Enough of that, I guess. The core beliefs. A second one, spiritual beings, souls, angels, ghosts, ascending masters, elemental and or UFO aliens exist and can be guides to us if we open ourselves up to them and accept their guidance. Do you believe in such things as that anyway? If there are those beings, what are they? If there are those spirit guides, they're demonic. It's all demonic. The human mind is complex and has deep levels of spirit and thought and possible vast powers. which could be capable even of altering physical reality. Your brain can alter physical reality. Nevertheless, it is believed that this is subject to certain spiritual laws, such as physics, and the principle of cause and effect. They believe you as an individual have a purpose here on earth, in this life, in this present surrounding, because there are lessons to learn. The most important lesson of all is the lesson of, you want to guess? I'll say it tenderly, the lesson of love. Oh. Death is not the end of life. There's only life. There's no such thing as death. You just keep coming back. Reincarnation or the near-death experiences. And on and on and on it goes. But I said to you, the New Age movement sort of gone away. Sort of gone away. At least it's not in the news. It's not being written about the same as it was. The New Age movement's kind of fizzled out. But the tenets, the doctrines of New Age movement are all around us. Brothers and sisters, that's what's happening out there in the world around us. This very thing is happening in the world around us. You go out there and say, you're inherently evil. Yeah, so was I, and so were you, inherently evil. Satan, the prince of the power of the air, he can blind the minds and keep people from the Lord Jesus Christ, and he can fill their minds with all sorts of garbage and make them think that they're gods themselves. What did he tell Eve? Go ahead and eat. God knows when you do, you'll be like gods yourself. And that's, he's lying to you. Don't believe what he says. Go ahead and eat. You'll see. You'll understand good from evil. Did they? Yeah, they did. And they also died spiritually. They were separated from God that very instant, just as the Lord said. Let me skip down a little bit. It's easy to participate in either the occultic scene or the New Age philosophy without really realizing it. You may be involved with one or more of the occult practices and innocently. As innocent as reading your horoscope. What should you do with a horoscope? Leave it alone. Well, it won't hurt to read it. Well, yeah, it will hurt to read it. What if you read something and it happens? You'll say there's power in the paper. You'll say, wow, there must be something to that. What if you could read it two or three times and it happened? What if you read it and Satan saw you read it and he made it happen? It wouldn't be anything so mystical or magical about that, would it? He can read. Wearing the peace sign or crystals or skulls and cross bones, the Italian horn or the yin yang. You know what the yin yang? Like two tadpoles in a circle and they're going around and one's black and one's white. You remember that? The yin yang? Well, there's all sorts of doctrine connected to that. Giving the peace sign by hand gesture, burning incense in your house, displaying dream catchers, Kachina dolls, totem art, owning books and movies that feature dragons and wizards and crystal balls and unicorns and winged horses, owning or displaying statues or idols of graven images like Buddha and Kuan Yin or Fohi or Fu dogs. I don't know what some of those are. Owning or displaying African statues, especially when they're sexual in nature, African masks, obi-wands, and staffs, often sold as canes. Owning or displaying statues of Mary and other Catholic statues or crucifixes. Owning or displaying the Masonic order, paraphernalia, jewelry, fezes, obelisks, aprons, or are there occult symbols on those? Listening to heavy metal rock, punk rock, or having posters of those things. Watching horror movies or viewing pornography of any kind. You say, those are just sins. Yeah, they're also sins associated with the pagan worship and the pagan practices that go back as far as back into the Old Testament days. I have a list of, and I won't be able to share many of them, A to Z of occult practices. Let me just read the list without much explanation. Aliens, ETs, extraterrestrials. ETs are not what they appear to be. They're fallen angels. You say, I thought that was just a movie. Yeah, but people see things too. They see things, and they're real to those people. And they say, oh, it's real. And now the movie becomes the foundation for their faith. In movies or TV shows like The X-Files, Area 51, Roswell, E.T., Independence Day, Men in Black, all those are old. They've been around. There's a lot worse than these now. Angelology, the worship of angels, summoning angels. They actually come and do your bidding, but they're not holy angels, they're fallen angels. Animal worship, people like PETA, people for the ethical treatment of animals. They have defended the spotted owl and the striped lizard and the three-legged frogs. And what is their motive? Well, it's not altogether to save the animals. The ascended masters, out-of-body experiences, astrology, obsession with black, wearing black. Have you seen those people? They've got putty white skin, black hair, black, I'm told, underwear and everything they wear is black. They paint their fingernails black and their toenails black. You've heard of that. They call themselves they're the Gothic. They call themselves Goths. All connected with this philosophy here. Devil worship, crystal balls. New Age was big on crystal. You could get in the light coming through a crystal in the beams of light and it would heal your body. Especially if it was the devil that was causing you to be sick. Devil worship, dream interpretation, ESP, Feng Shui, I didn't say that right, the Masonic Order, a host of games and video games. Have you looked at the video games that kids are playing? It's not the Lone Ranger, I can tell you that. You look down the barrel of some massive destructive weapon and you are the one who pulls the trigger with your button. You become the destroyer in the video games. Is there any wonder people are doing what they're doing? You see, it's all connected to this evil world, this evil empire that is around us. There are ghosts, heavy metal music, horror movies, hypnosis, idolatry, incense burning, Illuminati on your dollar bill. You know, the little pyramid with an eyeball on top. Sort of a Masonic, it's used in the Masonic Lodge. Talking about the Illuminati, we don't have time to talk about. There's all sorts of jewelry. There's levitation. If I could pick that piano up without touching it and move it over here and sit it back down without it going out of tune, you would be impressed, wouldn't you? There are people who do that. You say, no. Yeah, really. Well, who would pick that up? It would have to be a demon, wouldn't it? It would have to be the dark side. God's not going to move the piano. Probably takes three demons. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's all around the evil of this world. God wants you to be aware of the fact, and He does not want you to be involved in that. And certainly, please don't bring it into the church and try to worship Him with that, with the rock music. There's a reason we ought not do rock music in church. There's a reason for that. There's a reason for most of what we do in church. And maybe we don't have it all right just yet. Lord, help us. But we're not supposed to be involved in these things. And I'm out of time. And we still want to share some prayer requests here. God hates every act of worship toward other gods. And He hates anything other than the way of worship that He has prescribed. Worship is the reverent love and devotion accorded to deity, an idol or an object. You can worship the wrong things, but we ought to worship God His way. Therefore, we must beware of the New Age movement and occult practices and doctrines where many of these acts of worship are promoted today. Like it or not, whether you like this, whatever you want to call it tonight or not, you're part of this world. And this is what's out there. This is part of the darkness that surrounds us. And we better take it seriously. And we better do what would please the Lord so that we can have the blessing of the Lord on our lives, on our families, and on our church. Don't step off into the shadows. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day, for the opportunity of sharing these thoughts. Lord, it's a lot to express. But Lord, your word is clear. We're not to worship other gods. We're not to look to demons and spirits and ghosts and angels. Lord, we're supposed to look to you. You are God. You are the only God, the only true God. And Lord, we're supposed to love you with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're supposed to serve you and say no to the old taskmaster sin. Lord, we're supposed to walk in the light. We're supposed to be led by your Spirit. And Lord, there are spirits all about in this world in which we live. It's a reality, Lord. It's not something just to be saying to cause people to fear and turn to you. It's a reality. There's a spirit realm in which we live. And Lord, in some places it seems that darkness prevails. Help us to be children of light in this dark place. I pray that you would be glorified and honored by our response tonight. Help us to hate what you hate. In Jesus' name, amen.